The future. A relentless, desperate wasteland ravaged by nuclear war. With the destruction of the internet and search engines such as Google, accurate information about the past is traded like currency. Two brave travelers are commissioned with the dangerous task of going back through time to gather as much information as they can to find out about the late 20th and early 21st centuries in hopes that a future society may rebuild what was lost and avoid the horror of a smoldering radioactive planet. But there is a catch. The travelers' journey back across eons of time is a one-way trip, leaving them stranded in the past. There's no way to communicate their findings to the future other than burying reinforced time capsules in the ground.
Are you serious?
In the hopes that one day recordings such as these will be unearthed to provide a glimpse of the world that once was.
All right.
This is the mission of the crispy coated robots. And it must succeed.
Hey, it's Jim.
And it's Joseph.
Hey, and it's George. So it must be time for Crispy Coated Robots.
Yay!
Woo! Tom, can you give us some...
We have to do our own.
He's not even paying attention.
We have to do our own sound effects tonight.
You know, the show is only an hour, you two. No, we're doing it right... They don't even know.
Okay.
Caitlin and Tom. Anyway, welcome to, welcome to episode 170 of Crispy Coated Robots. Today's going to be a great show. Like the announcer said, we are sending these topics into the future for the future to prevent the nuclear war to come, the big glow. And today we're talking about best movie shootouts, and this is not shootouts in a cinema. That would be horrible. That would be awful. There's way too much gun violence. This is about scenes of movies that have shootouts in them, and we're going to talk about that. And then our next topic, Mr. Johnson, is
buffet items.
Buffet and buffet, however you go on that. So
you go to a great all you can eat place for, you know, a set amount. Sometimes it can be really cheap, sometimes it can be really expensive, but when you go and you start filling up your plate, it's a lose-lose proposition. Let's just face it, because either you're going to not eat as much as you pay for, or you're going to eat more than you paid for and feel terrible. Either way, it's lose-lose. No one feels good coming out of a buffet.
So
it just sounds like a really good idea at first.
Is it side item or just any item on the buffet?
Any item.
Okay, on any buffet, right?
On any buffet, any item. Like,
yeah, I've got different buffets here.
Yeah,
I hate to
with Las Vegas buffets myself. So I'm being very specific here, but different items.
Okay. I hate to start the show on correcting, but this is actually episode 171 of the Crispy Coated Robot Show. So just in case
you were
you were looking at your, like, saying, well, I thought it was 170 already. It is 171. So just wanted to get that clarified.
Thank you. Yes.
If you have your Crispy Coated scorecard out there, I know people were confused and they were just, you know, trying to go back and look at the episodes. Like, did I miss
something? Actually, George was trying to give them a choice. Thus the buffets, you know.
Thank you, Joseph.
Episode 170.
I will say, though, I knew which day we were recording, though. Let's just...
We're going to bring that up. The viewers don't need to know that.
I do want to say something about the buffet before we get started. There was a period of about 3 or 4 years where I had a piano contract with a casino, Le Berge de Lac, in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And one of the things, they would set me up in a room. I would play their piano bar grill thing or whatever, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. But they would give me vouchers to the buffet. And this was at the time, a $35, $40 buffet.
Wow.
And breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I would have vouchers. So I would end up with 9 vouchers for the weekend. I'd go there on a Thursday and I guess Thursday night. So my math is off there, but Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday evening, Saturday morning. It was so great. And that was a thing until COVID. And then I went back about a year ago, went back, went in there, and they don't even have the buffet anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the great shame about COVID. It took down the buffets, and that was
the greatest buffet, though, y'all. It was
great. I'm sure by Sunday your hotel toilet took a pounding. The 3 trips to the buffet.
Well, see, I think that's where it's good, because he got to go back so many times. George probably didn't feel the need to fill up. See, that's the thing.
No. When you go to a buffet,
I'll get my money's worth. Yeah.
But it was like, I mean, steak. They would have no joke. They would have lobster. They had I kind of watched it. The buffet, it wasn't there to make money. It was there to lure you. It was an anchor, a magnet, if you will, to lure you to the casino to spend all your money on the floor. But, oh, God, that buffet. Everything.
Well, that's why I'm sticking exclusively to Las Vegas buffets, because you're absolutely right about that. I'll get into it a little bit later. But
let's start right now.
Yeah, we'll start right now. I'm going with the poor man's buffets, the college buffets, that kind of offer.
I was sort of hoping you would, Joe. I was hoping you would, so we could have sort of a spectrum here balance, buffets. Yeah. Yes, a balance on there.
Yeah, if you need lobster steak, you know, I got to do. Anyways, let's start with buffets. Yeah, what is your number 5 buffet item?
Okay, so number 5 comes from the Circus Buffet off the Las Vegas Strip. It's one of the older ones on the Strip, at least. And, you know, Vegas is known for, you know, the $5 steak and all that.
Are you doing food or you're doing actual buffets?
I'm doing buffets, because I'm talking about items from each of these buffets here.
Okay.
Because item. Yeah, it's like, okay, you know. And what I really like about this Circus, I've been to all of them, okay, so I'm speaking from experience here, is they have really good fried shrimp. Last time a Circus buffet, they had really good fried shrimp. And that's one of those things, as we all know, we have to talk about this, you know, of the quality of food at these buffets. Sometimes you're sort of taking your life into your own hands here, you know, with some of this stuff. But the great thing that I like about these buffets is, you know, this one's actually on the cheaper side. You know, it's about $23. You know, that's a plate, very reasonable and all that. And so you start to question some of the stuff. Seafood is always sort of like a red flag to me, you know, like, did I take it or not? And this one, like I said, what I was really surprised with, I'm a big fried shrimp eater, like it, you know, being Cajun, gotta like the fried shrimp. And so fried shrimp is my number 5 for buffet.
All right.
Very nice. George, your number 5.
I'm gonna start slow, and I don't have mine is a bit more generic. Okay. I don't have specific things that you can go put a pin in a map and say, right here, you know, go get these chicken nuggets. My number 5 is the salad bar. I like a good salad. And the salad bar, I find myself getting a crazy amount of add-ons that it's just because I can. You know, it's like, ooh, little corns. And I'll get like all this stuff. And then I get back to the table with it. And I'm like, why do I don't want raisins on my salad. And I'll kind of like brush it to the side. But some of the stuff I'll eat, you know, sunflower seeds or whatever. But my number 5, start with that salad
that,
bar.
That kind of almost enters that territory of mutts or bees, insects with a stinger territory, only because there's so many different items on the salad bar.
Oh, you're welcome.
What?
You're welcome.
See, I'm shocked they put salad bar on there, because we're at a buffet. What the heck are you doing with a salad?
Well, you're going to be shocked at my number 5, which is something that caused a major stir in my life with one of my bandmates, who was very upset that there was pudding
I know who you're talking about.
Yes, yeah, so pudding on one of the buffets. So pudding is an item that can go on any buffet. It can go on a salad bar. It could be like an Jason's Deli kind of crazy buffet where they have got this kind of bread and stuff. Or now, it could go on a pizza buffet.
Are you putting this on here just because of Matt? Is that the only reason? Yeah,
too, in that it's on its versatility or whatever, to be on so many different buffets.
Well, because it doesn't belong on any of them. It's out of place on every single one.
I've seen
one,
a Chinese buffet with the head pudding.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, of course. So,
oh,
yeah.
Chinese. I was about to say, there's nothing like an egg roll next to a blot of pudding.
Banana pudding. Yeah.
At a bigger Chinese buffet, they'll have like vanilla and chocolate and possibly a butterscotch. Yeah. So there you go.
And it's just like a big fat.
Right next to the soy sauce. That's right.
So it's durable. It's almost on every buffet. Pudding is my number five.
Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
Best shootout.
An orphan Joseph, of number every five. Country. Yes.
So when we talk about shootouts, you know, the office was a little bit specific about here, which is that we're talking about, you know, gun fight scenes that are like with bullets or not with laser beams or anything like that. Yeah. You know, it's not a duel. Okay, where you have sort of, you know,
like gunslingers
kind of things. Right. Yeah, gunslingers, just one on one kind of thing. It has to be exchange of bullets too. It can't just be a massacre of someone just pulling out a gun and then killing people and all that. So there has to be some type of exchange on that.
So no, with Michael Caine in The Island where he gets that gun at the end and wipes out.
Yes, exactly. Right. Okay. Exactly.
Sadly, no. But check out our Michael Caine episode.
Yes, oh, I think should. I mentioned The Island. George, I mean Joseph, what is your number five?
So my number five comes from 1992's Reservoir Dogs, the climactic scene. I really like this because it was so Shakespearean. You know, in most Shakespearean tragedies, everyone dies at the end. And Tarantino really follows this formula when Nice Guy Eddie, Mr. White, and Joe all have weapons pointed at each other. And, you know, they're like, who do I trust? You're not really sure, you know, who's going to be believed or whatever. And they all shoot and they all die. And it's great. It's fantastic. So Reservoir Dogs, number five.
All right. Yep. No, George, no, number five for you.
No sequel there. So
yeah,
hang on. Let me get this on the board. Trying to,
or they could have done Reservoir Dogs, The Next Generation, if he was really clever, you know, and had like a whole other new, right. The son of Mr. Pink.
He would have like the secondary colors, you know, like blue green.
That's right. Sure to check out our Crayola episode, which was what was that, Jim? 169 or something?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. George, what is your number five?
Oh, it was 169. Tom said yes. There I got go. One right. I don't know what episode this is, but
yes.
I got that Crayola thing.
Very nice.
So this is from 1987, written by David Mamet, one of my favorite writers there. An American crime film directed by the great Brian De Palma, but not the movie that you think it's going to be, Joseph. This is The Untouchables, the shootout in Chicago's Union Station.
This is my number two.
It makes a triple play.
Well, let's talk about it. What do you want to say, guys?
No, it just was a ripoff of a silent movie, and a bunch of gunshots are all around it. Made fun of a Naked Gun 3. That's my
So in real life, the Untouchables, they were agents of the U.S. Bureau of Prohibition, I think, in the 30s, Elliot Ness and all that, and they're trying to stop Al Capone's illegal activities. But the movie, De Palma's movie, Kevin Costner's Elliot Ness, Sean Connery's in there, just I don't even remember why, but Robert De Niro.
You want to get him, George?
That's right.
You get him the Chicago way. That's
but
how you
get him, George. that's actually pretty good, Jim. Yes. Robert De Niro, notorious Al Capone. But the scene, it's an ambush that goes completely wrong, which forces Elliot Ness's men to literally ride in and save the day. And you have Morricone's music. The music is great in this. It swells up, and then there's this beautiful choreography, and it's just movie perfection. De Palma is fluent in the language of cinematic violence, and he puts your stomach in your throat as that, you remember the baby carriage? So all of this is kind of happening in slow motion, this mob shootout, and this baby carriage of an innocent bystander starts going down these long stairs right in the middle of all these guys shooting each other. And it's just perfect. It's wonderful. So glad so this the, makes the canister.
The film that that Jim is referring to is Sergei Einstein's 1925 yeah. Russian propaganda film called The Battleship Potemkin.
And I didn't mention it because I knew I wouldn't be able to say that.
And
Battleship so, Pokemon.
Yeah. Pokemon, there you go. But yeah, it borrows the whole crib scene in there. You know,
it doesn't borrow it. It takes it away.
But no, absolutely fantastic in every sense of the way there, because it's such drama, it's slow motion, it's been built up. That's why it's my number two, and that's why I guess it got all of us, because yeah. I think it was one of those great cinematic, iconic experiences for everyone. It's great seeing it. Yeah. So good.
All right. My number five, 21 Drum Street, the prom shootout, which happens in a hotel room where we find these two bikers.
Are you looking at me? Are you? Oh, wait. Or is that? That's 22 Jump Street. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. 21. We see these two bikers that have been kind of this gang that we find out are Johnny Depp and Peter DeLuise, who were in the original Jump Street TV show. And we find out they've been undercover ever since with this biker gang trying to take them down. And of course, they end up dying pretty violently when they find out they're Jump Street too. They find out like Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill are Jump Street. And then Johnny Depp turns to talk to him about Jump Street and gets blown away.
Yes. Yes.
And this leads to
actually, where the guy gets shot in.
This leads to actually going in limousines and having a chase, and Rob Riggle's character gets his so-and-so shot off in a famous scene. The whole 21 Jump Street comedy prom shootout that reveals Johnny Depp is my number five.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's good. That's good.
On to number four, buffet item, Joseph.
Okay, coming in number four for me is from the Bellagio Hotel. It gets a little bit more expensive. It's about like $50, you know, for this, but well worth it because they really excel in Japanese and Italian. That's what they're
are really you getting some kind of kickback from these places?
I really should. But no, I tried these because I, like I said, you know, that I don't, I go there to relax and eat good food.
Yeah, you're a foodie. You're a self-admitted foodie.
And so this one is sort of interesting because it has things like, I think it's disgusting myself, foie gras, you know, which is horrible if you don't know what I'm talking about. You should just go watch how foie gras is made, and you're just like, it's inhumane, it's awful. But the thing that I really like about this is I don't like sushi. I'm not a sushi eater. I'm not like one of these people that are like, ooh, sushi. Oh, I can't wait for it. I'm like your California roll kind of sushi eater.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the only sushi I do.
You know, but this one, actually, I don't know, maybe because I'm paying $50 for it, I was like, I'm going to try different sushi and all that. And there are some that I really, really liked. Like I had shark meat, which was actually very good with it and stuff like that. So I'm going with... and I hope this is not a stinger, but I'm going with sushi from Bellagio. Sushi. So is that a stinger kind of thing?
Am I supposed to
have to specify Bellagio? Which sushi I like? Because if so, I'm going to go with the shark meat. But if not, I'm just going to go with sushi.
All right. George is confused, but George just told you number four, and we'll get past it.
Okay. Well, my number four, this is roast beef from a carving station.
That is good. That is good.
At the end of the little area there, you'll have a restaurant employee that is probably being punished for something. I don't know. But he stands there at your beck and call waiting, and then they will carve off this big old piece of roast beef, and they cut it, and they just put it on your plate. So it was either this or the omelet guy who was being punished for whatever, you know, having to make omelets right there. But I went with my heart, boys, roast beef carving station.
Nice. My number four is a kind of a companion to pudding. It's reliable. It is on a lot of buffets, kind of at the end as maybe a choice to eat before your actual food comes out.
Hang on, Jason's Deli. Just a moment, please.
Yeah.
Companion to pudding. Joseph, yeah. What is a companion to pudding in your in your world?
Nilla wafers.
Oh,
no, okay. It's actually muffins. Little mini muffins.
Muffins. Okay.
Okay. Wait, how is that a companion?
No, he's right. I can see a logic there.
See, right by the pudding, they have the muffins and little breads. That, you know, like a Jason's Deli or something, you'll have the little muffins at the end that you always eat before your actual food's ready. Or like they were on the Pizza Inn buffet at Pizza Inn too. Muffins were like considered a dessert, maybe even a appetizer. So very, very durable. Also can, you know, prolong make your hunger go away by eating them before.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Yeah. When you're at the buffet, do you like, because they're so small and bite-sized there, do you just pop a little muffin? Like, well, this is my buffet food. Like while I'm shopping at the buffet.
Talking like Pizza Hut and stuff like that, then we need to specify it's blueberry muffins because that's the only kind that they serve. Well, no, I'm just talking about all
muffins, the very versatile, durable muffins. So,
okay.
All muffin buffets. So there we go. We are now.
When I think of muffins, the word durable doesn't really, but you know, you be you.
I don't know. You wait for like an hour or so after the meal. you'll figure that what's durable.
Okay. Well, the guy who's in our band, Matt Stevens, he was so mad that he didn't think muffins belonged on the pizza buffet. So we actually had a confrontation with the manager at Pizza Inn in Beaumont. And just stared him down and asked why muffins were on there with his foot tapping, expecting some sort of corporate answer. So we ended up doing a gig. We ended up doing a gig where it was pudding versus muffins, the great showdown. If you brought pudding.
I remember that. Yeah, it was on the flyer. It was on the flyer.
Yeah. If you got pudding, you brought pudding a box, you got a dollar off. And if you brought muffins, because Matt hated them so much, we had charged you an extra $5. So. That's how that worked. All right, so let's move on to number four. The world was never the same.
Yeah.
Number four.
And they wondered why they never took off as a band.
Yes. We're too worried about pudding versus muffins. My number four is Untouchable, so I'm done for number four. Joseph, what's your number four?
Number four, 1999, the lobby scene of The Matrix. I've talked about this particular scene several times before. I feel like this is amazing. It's a ballet of bullets, just spreading everywhere. The way it's shot, the sequence of the whole lobby scene itself, everything about it is just amazing. I felt like this was a new way of looking at a great old Western shootout. So there you go.
Yeah, this is my number two.
Oh wow!
And it's actually. Have you ever seen Hard Boiled? Joseph?
Yes.
So it's John Woo's Hard Boiled a few years before. But this is such a great scene. The Wachowskis kind of reinvented the language of the Western action with the wire work and all the bullet time stuff and everything. And that moment when they go through the metal detector and then they show all Neo and Trinity pass through that metal, it's like a drumstick count off of this beautiful, like you said, slow motion, just ballet of giddy violence. So good. My number four though is going back to 1993. It's Tony Scott's adaptation, if you will, of Quentin Tarantino's True Romance, the shootout Ambassador Hotel. The story is Christian Slater and Patricia Arquette. They're Clarence and Alabama from Detroit. They accidentally steal a suitcase full of cocaine and from Christopher Walken, who's a mob boss. They leave Detroit and then try to figure out how to sell it in L.A. Brad Pitt's in this, not in the shootout, but in the final scene, the real owners of the cocaine, the police, And then the other members of the mob all track him down to this one room in the Ambassador Hotel. And that's when there's this crazy crossfire between the mob and the police. And what's interesting about it is Clarence and Alabama, they're so far removed. They're not even active players in the shootout, which just shows you how disconnected and in over their heads they really are. It's quite a spectacle. But that is my number four, is the True Romance shootout in the Ambassador Hotel. What you got, nice. Jim?
Well, you know, my number four was The Untouchables, but
oh, that's guys, right.
This is kind of a first for Crispy Coated Robots. Tom has to use the Crispy Coated Dryer. My clothes are in there. He's been like bugging me show long. So I'm going to go ahead and get my clothes out of the dryer. If you can just hold it right there, I'll be right back. I promise. Okay. Maybe talk amongst yourselves. The topic.
We'll just go ahead and finish and vote. How about that?
Well, I'll be right back.
We'll get back to you, Jim.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, we'll do your topics for you. Although we don't know what they are, we'll do your list.
Do we want to go ahead and just have Caitlin do the intermission, or?
Yes.
Oh, he's gone.
Well, I think we need to do an intermission. Caitlin, can you do that now?
What do you mean?
Why is she being a stickler to the rules? Aren't we on number three already?
I don't know. I didn't realize Jim was the boss. She said Jim said no.
Oh, man. I can't believe this. Okay, he's sticking it with us. All right. Well, did he just complete his number four?
Yeah, his number four was, the Untouchables thing.
Okay. So where are we? Are we on number three now? Oh, boy, this is exciting stuff here.
So we do need Jim, because I think we're back to buffet items, right?
Okay, well, then I'm going to talk
how
about
do we
my...
not know? I mean, we buffet items.
All right, so, then to my number three.
Yeah, go
buffet
ahead.
This is the Cosmopolitan's Wicked Spoon. Again, a little sort of expensive, but I've only had the brunch. Now, I understand, like, the prices fluctuate on this.
I don't know what this is. What is this?
The Wicked Spoon from the Cosmopolitan. It's really one of the best buffets you can possibly have. Presentation is amazing and all that.
But is the dish the Wicked Spoon?
No, that's the name of the restaurant.
The drink, the Cosmopolitan drink.
Yes, exactly. So Cosmopolitan Hotel. Now, the Cosmopolitan Hotel has a restaurant called the Wicked Spoon, which does the buffet. Their buffet restaurant is called the Wicked Spoon, just so George can get this right. Okay, so when you go to Las Vegas and you go to the Cosmopolitan Hotel, it's right next to the Bellagio Hotel.
All right.
There's a restaurant called the Wicked Spoon that does a buffet. They have a brunch buffet.
I'm with that you now. All that superfluous stuff. Okay, but go ahead.
So they have everything. And the thing about these Las Vegas buffets is that when you go, you can get steak, you can get lobster, you can get crab legs and all that.
We know how a buffet works.
No, but I'm talking about like the items there. The items there
Please explain it again.
Well, it's not Golden Corral is what I'm saying. It's not Golden Corral.
You can get whatever you want on a buffet.
Okay.
As much or as little, man. It's
the
amazing.
Thing that I like the most. And I'm not going to say that this is the item that you can only get at the Wicked Spoon, but this is one of my favorites. I think it's a favorite of mine at most buffets, which is mac and cheese.
Okay.
I like mac and cheese.
That was a long way to go for mac and cheese.
Jeez.
Okay. It's called Stalling, George.
Okay.
I'm back. Well, I got the clothes out. Tom is happy. He put his clothes in. He's got a big weekend
as long
ahead.
As Tom is happy, as long as our intern is happy, then all is well in the universe. So you missed the Elaine Fairchild.
Lady Elaine.
Of the Wicked
Lady
Spoon.
Elaine Fairchild.
Yes.
There was a mac and cheese story. No, there was a Cosmopolitan
mac and cheese
and a spoon, and yeah,
it was all for mac and cheese. George was a little bit confused. I think he's cleared up on it now.
Not a little.
One thing we know from you, Joseph, is you can get anything you want in the buffet as long as it's there. You can take as much as you want of it.
You have to pay, but yes, you can get any item.
What's your number three, George?
Whew, that one wore me out. Mac and cheese spoon. My number three, ice cream sundae bar. Wow. Again, this is the
you're doing full bars here.
This is the equivalent of what I do with the salad. I go to the ice cream thing and it's like, yeah, I'll take some of those. But I want to warn the audience. I want to warn the future. Don't get those Reese's pieces, because when they get cold, they get as hard as gravel. Okay. So stay away from that. But yeah, take a little gummy bear, the little sprinkles, and oh yeah.
But talk about like how the ice cream is always icy. It's not creamy ice cream that you get at a buffet. It's the icy stuff.
Yeah, there's a different mixture there. You're right about that. But it's still, hey, it's good.
You know. That's right.
Good stuff. My number three is pizza. I mean, it kind of got us through college going to Pizza Inn buffet. We went there so much.
Oh, they banned us. They told us not to come back.
No, in Lamar, they didn't ban us. They ended up making specialized pizzas for us and just bringing out to us because to avoid the middleman.
Oh, yeah. The Tom Wilrod. This guy, Tom was like a sort of a slender guy. And we would go and have these like buffet, like contests basically. And I'm not kidding you. I think one night he put away four large pizzas by himself. It was crazy because I was trying to keep up with him and I started getting meat sweats because I was eating pepperoni pizza.
Yeah, they knew we were coming.
Tom had a tapeworm, no doubt.
I think that's when it was only down like one night, or we went one night a week. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday.
It was one night. It was Wednesday nights. It was Wednesday nights we would go and
And to be clear, that is not our intern Tom that we're talking about. It's
different. Tom Wilrod.
Totally different guy.
And an RIP Pizza Inn, because there's not a lot of them if there's anybody left. But CC's kind of took the banner and ran with that. Yeah. You know. So
you know what? And that's where I developed my taste for pepperoni pineapple. The reason why is because it was a play on CC's policy of like, they're like, hey, if we don't have a pizza made for you, we'll make it for you. And I knew that combination no one else would want. So they just start delivering it to my table.
Yeah, you know, and the pizza guys. Yeah, nice.
The pizza guys. So there you go. Pizza is my number three.
That's probably how the pudding thing, you know. I want a pizza boat with some pudding on it.
That's right. That's right.
So do we need an intermission, or did Joseph pretty much give us some sort of intermission already?
No, you will be proud that Caitlin wanted to follow the rules.
Okay.
Because she's like, no, Jim has to read the card. And
It's a 200 RPM commercial slicer with an 8 steel blade slicing a ham. Very specific. Very nice.
Makes all the difference from the 6-inch blade. How big is this hand? As always, Caitlin, thank you.
And also the actual switching off button.
You can't leave those things running, Jim.
Yeah, I know, but just to hear it so loud and pronounced, it was very nice. On now to number three, Shootout, Joseph.
Number three, Shootout. I was debating whether or not this was going to be my number three or my number one, in all honesty. 2014's John Wick, the restaurant scene. And what's amazing about this is the intensity of it itself. But something that our friend Jason pointed out to it is how John Wick shoots his gun. He actually shoots his gun like he's punching. So when he shoots, it's always doing the double tap kind of thing on it. But like he's going around there, you know, dodging bullets and then doing this sort of punching action. And the reason why he did that is because he actually received some Krav Maga, I hope I'm saying that right, training by the Israeli military on how
Is this gung fu? Sort of like
gung fu. You're right, because Krav Maga is a martial arts kind of thing done by the Israeli military people and all that. And so when he shoots and all that, it, like I said, there's just sort of an element there that you're like, wow, this is sort of different. You know, it's not just a guy just shooting around and stuff like that. There's like an actual, like, and I know it's choreographed, but there's an actual intent behind how he's going about taking out all these bad guys. So there you go. John Wick.
I just thought of the gun fu thing from that movie. I can't remember. It's a futuristic movie. Christian Bale is in it, and I would have put that on my list. I love that scene where there's like this whole. Anyway, my number three.
Trail off and go straight.
Well, I'm remorseful that I
because Joseph and I had no clue what you're talking about.
What the hell? Like mac and cheese is off the table now. That's what this is all about. The movie. No,
do you not know? So there's this. Okay, there's this hotel called the Cosmopolitan, and right next to it is a gun shop. No. All right. So my number three is Michael Mann's 1995 Cops and Robbers movie Heat. And this movie has so many great scenes, but the one that I have here, it's like this large scale bank robbery just goes completely out of control and into the streets. And there's all this, it's huge, it's loud, it's very intense gunfight between the bank robbers and the police. And it's just this deafening sound of these heavy caliber firearms throughout the town, or you know, the city of LA. And the recordings, this is a Michael Mann movie. Like I said, he wanted the gunfire to be so loud, and they were going to go in and do some stuff in post production, and they ran samples of this, and he just didn't like what he was hearing. So he got the sound recorded on location, which is crazy because this is so choreographed, this shootout. Y'all know the shootout I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah.
And that just, it makes it what it is. And it, to say something, and y'all, Joseph, I think you and I talked about this months ago. It's so authentic, the way that Val Kilmer, that he does his, what they call speed reloading, that the U.S. Marines, they actually use it to teach Marines how to do this technique. Val Kilmer doing the speed loading of his gun. It's not only good, but it's perfect to the extent that they use it as almost like a training.
Wow, gun. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Well, maybe that wasn't you I was talking to.
No, I didn't know that. No, yeah.
Random person on the street. Hey, the movie Heat.
This old lady I was sitting next to in the bus.
Yeah.
But Heat is my number three.
All right. My number three. We talked about this movie a lot on this show, which is Tropic Thunder. And it's the final scene where they have to save Simple Jack, Ben Stiller, from drug runners ran by like a 13-year-old or maybe like a 10-year-old.
A 10-year-old, yeah.
And then you have the whole thing where my favorite part is Robert Downey Jr. is in disguise as a farmer, and he turns around with the two guns and says, "I'm a lead farmer, mother." and starts blowing people away.
Melon Farmer?
Yeah. So you have, and then you have the whole kind of rescue scene with the shootout and leads them to them escaping in a helicopter, and some funny stuff goes on. So,
spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler. But my number three is the Tropic Thunder rescue of Simple Jack scene. Simple Jack. That's funny because Robert Downey Jr. said before that, you know, where people, he's been asked if people were offended by the blackface. I said, then they're more offended by Ben Stiller's Simple Jack character than they were than me. So, yeah. All right. So we are on now to number two, buffet item. Joseph, what do you have?
Okay. So number two for me is Caesar's Palace Bacchanal Buffet. This is known as the largest buffet in Vegas, and that's saying something there, you know. And the price is not, I've done it once, and it was $80 a plate.
Woo!
So you're serious about going there, you know. But you know, where else can you go and get, you know, like I said, a real steak, not just like a piece of meat.
Now, is this a hooker feeding it to you or what?
You know, it's one of those things there, and they do have, in fact, my two and my one, they actually have time limits of 2.5 hours that you can stay there. And if you time it right, which I always do, what I do is I go in there right at the end of the breakfast buffet, which is at 11 o'clock, and it goes into the lunch. So you can get two meals. That's right, Joseph Johnson's little tip here. You can get two meals for the price of one. So you can get the lunch menu and the breakfast menu.
It's really a $40 buffet if you do it Johnson style.
If you do it Johnson style, that's exactly it there. You know?
I thought you were about to say you're going right up to the switchover because of all the lunch food would be fresh because they're all kind of like putting them in there.
It's all fresh regardless. I mean, these guys, like, literally, they're just dumping out all this food that's perfectly good just to keep it fresh. I mean, that's the whole thing.
So it's not like George's, a hotel continental breakfast where they just kind of like, you have, if at the end you get like the scraping of the egg.
Exactly. To George's point, you know, I don't think they're really trying to make a profit on these things there because the quality of the food is fantastic.
I would say $80 is a profit in my book.
the thing that I like about, you know, their particular buffet there is that they have fantastic desserts there. And I know that that's sort of like a stinger of it, but if you're talking about like the crepe souffles and stuff like that, that's what I'm going to go for as far as my buffet, crepe souffle.
Joseph, is this like a ridiculous buffet? Because I've done those. I did one cruise and I'm never going back again. Sorry, it just wasn't for me. But the whole cruise depended upon, there was a midnight buffet every time. And everybody's like so excited about it. Oh, the midnight buffet. And it just seemed like you were eating constantly on the water. There was no kind of
I agree with you. I'm not a cruise person either. I went on a cruise one time and I was like, I hate it. I hate people in general. And when you're stuck on a boat with them and there's no escape, it's awful. And
you're right. That's a shirt right there.
It's terrible.
People in general, Joseph Johnson.
People that like cruises, I gotta wonder about them because I'm like, what do you like about it? Do you like the overcrowded pools? Do you like the stupid cattle call for meals of like, you're this group, you eat it this time? I'm like, it's too much. It's just,
it seemed
too
like
much
I was trapped
me.
In a mall, really, because I kept walking.
Yes,
like,
you are.
I'm here again.
And exactly. The best day I had on the cruise, and because my wife, my daughter, we were all on. It was a Disney cruise. Okay. And the best day that we had is when we had the excursion day. Everyone got off the boat and went to Cozumel. We had been there several times before. We stayed on the boat. And literally, we have pictures of us being the only people in the pool. We had a spa day. We got a pedicure going on. It was great. Why? Because there was no people. So that's why we realized real quickly, cruises not for us.
You just want the ship to yourself.
I hate people in general. That is the quote of the show. I hate people in general. Joseph Johnson. All right. He's a people person.
Okay.
Folks.
Hang on a minute, Mr. I hate souffle. Everybody.
We're going getting back to the topic. Crepe what? Souffle is my number crepe. Two.
All right, crepe souffle. All right, George, what is your number two?
I got to spell souffle first. So, okay. Spell souffle.
S-O-U. That's all I got
F-F-L-E-S.
Oh. Souffle. Crepe right. Souffle.
You know what? This is not the way we do this, but I'm going to go ahead and cast my vote that I get to cast for that. Just because, not even because the food, just because you found a way to beat the system with the $40. And,
so you're foregoing your number two. Your number two doesn't exist now. It's crepe souffle.
No, my number two, bite your tongue, sir. It is bacon.
Oh,
go to the breakfast buffet and you don't get three pieces of bacon. You get 300 pieces of bacon.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, George.
You build a little log cabin out of the bacon stacked up, and then you put like strawberries and eggs or whatever. It doesn't matter. Everything else on that, on the bacon, it's a bacon buffet with breakfast side items for me. Okay. So there, that is bacon. You didn't like how I was being so broad. Well, there you go. Very specific.
My number two is, it kind of plays on your first selection, salad bar. It is a member of the salad bar, and it's the little seed that could. I'm talking about sunflower seeds that always seem to make the salad better. And even I put it on my cottage cheese, if they have cottage cheese on there, and it just gives a nice little crunch. So in the salad bar, it's the little seed that could, the little MVP sunflower
seeds. Do you do sunflower seeds by themselves or just on the salad?
Because I like the salad. Yeah, it's a great. It's a, you know, that whole thing. So I'm just
Sabrina will buy every now and then. And you would think I'd have more influence over purchases like this, but every now and then we will have like a little container of sunflower seeds that she's got at the groceries, and they're so good, dry roasted, and so good. I love it, and I just eat them without putting them on anything. And that's she probably buys enough to put them on salads, and I just inhale them, and you know, then we don't see them again for like 4 months or something. So, but yeah,
gotcha. Nice. All right. So we're on now to the number two, shootout, Joseph,
the Untouchables.
It's number two shootout, George,
the Matrix.
My number two is from a comedy film. We got a very small chance of making it, but it's Night Shift, and the shootout that happens in the morgue when the two pimps finally catch up to Henry Winkler in the morgue. Hey, Franklin was our friend. We had to kill Franklin. He was our friend. And then you have Henry Winkler like, I want to be your friend. Please, God, let me be your friend. And then he's actually tied up on one of the examination tables, and they're going to cut holes in him and put a water hose in his mouth and let him sprinkle everywhere. But it doesn't get that far, as Michael Keaton brings cops back to try to hook them up with women. And there's a shootout between Richard Belzer, who plays one of the hitmen.
You're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then so it ends up with Richard Belzer shooting himself in the foot and quitting. And then the other guy is very upset. Hey, man. But and during this whole thing, you have Henry Winkler spinning around on this gurney, and shots are going by. And then you have the classic Michael Keaton line, Chuck, you were great. You just sat there. You didn't do anything. You're just spinning around, bullets flying all around you. He said, would you please get me out of there?
and was this the first Henry Winkler role where he wasn't the Fonz?
He was kind of, he was a wimp. Yeah. This is kind of the wimpiest role for Henry Winkler.
And I mean, I remember seeing it and it's like, wow, I can see the Fonz in there somewhere. But
have the a very good wimpy portrayal by Henry Winkler. And then, of course, at the end, he gets some guts. But I love the shootout from Night Shift. It doesn't have a chance, but it's my number two shootout.
No, that's fun. That's a good one.
What is your number one buffet item, Joseph?
Number one buffet item that I've had almost every time I go to Vegas, I got to stop by the Wynn's The Buffet. That's why it's called. The restaurant is called The Buffet. That's it. you know, and there's a reason why for it, because it is grandiose. I've done the dinner before. That'll run me $75. I've done the brunch, $50 with it. And with the brunch, again, doing the two-for-one kind of thing. So I try to make sure. But
Johnson style.
My favorite part of this is that they have, for an additional $20, you can get what's called the additional pours, which means that you get mimosas and wine with your buffet the whole time. Let me tell you right now, we are challenging that 2.5 hour rule, because we are staying there and just drinking up and eating crab legs the whole time, you know, where it's a fantastic kind of thing. And then we just go and we just pass out by the poolside whenever we do this.
Do y'all have like one of those big hourglasses of sand and you turn it over and you're just watching the grains?
Well, I think you know, the wait staff starts to see who you are. You know, it's like all of a sudden the endless pours start slowing down. The spigot starts slowing down because at first, man, they are like Johnny on the spot. They won't let you get halfway through your drink until, you know, they're giving you another one. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, where's the guy? Where's the guy? They're like, come on.
Then you're having to tackle them as they serve other tables. Yeah.
So my number one buffet item, and I know it's not on your list, Jim, but for me, it's the endless pours of mimosas.
Wow. I thought you were going for crab legs. Well, that would be the story, but the mimosas. Okay. Gotcha. All right, George, number one for you.
Hang on, getting this on here.
Which section of the bar are you choosing this time?
another single item here, Jimbo.
Okay, good.
Egg rolls. So Chinese buffet, I just, I love the egg rolls. Because when we order Chinese out and the delivery guy comes, I only get one egg roll at home. And because we only order like two egg rolls. I don't know how I lost so much control over this part of my life with sunflower seeds and egg rolls. But when we go to a Chinese buffet, I'm going to eat my weight in egg rolls. And I am not light. So egg rolls.
Very good. My number one also has from the Chinese buffet. It kind of is the determining factor on the grade of the Chinese buffet. Do they have dumplings or not? Are they willing to put dumplings out there or not?
Yeah.
So if they are, it kind of elevates the buffet to me to another level, because, you know, it's a high price kind of appetizer. So,
well, and I don't make them, but I don't think they're easy to do right. Am I wrong about that, Joseph? Or there's a certain level of skill to that, right?
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right.
So, but yeah, if the dumplings are on the buffet and they're letting people just go crazy on the dumplings, you know, it's a higher rank Chinese buffet.
It's an $80 buffet. Just say
it's not $80. It's still going to be $7.95, but still.
how are we even still friends with
but it's $7.95
but I mean, why does he even talk to us? We're like sneaking, you know, chicken nuggets in our pockets out the back door.
Well, here's the kicker though. On the buffet, it's $7.95 for the buffet, and they charge like $2.50 or $2.95 for the tea.
So how they get you every time.
The tea is almost half the buffet. Sure, they're like every 5 seconds to refill your tea. So they can get a tip, but
I think that's endless pours of ice.
Endless tea. Pours of tea. That's right. I'll change my endless pours of tea.
Nice.
All right, guys, we're down to number one shootout scene.
Yes, Joseph,
what you got?
I had to put this as number one because, and I figured this is how it was going to go. Which is, we talk about shootouts, and if you look here, we don't really have Westerns on here at all. Ooh. We don't have a Western movie on here. So I'm going with my number one, which is 1969's The Wild Bunch. And if you know which one I'm talking about here, involves, you know, the Federales shooting it out, and what comes out there but Browning M9 1917 machine gun.
Yeah.
And bullets are being exchanged, but once that machine gun starts up there, it is brutal. I mean, for 1969, it sort of elevated what violence looked like in Western.
I watched this about a month ago. Jim actually called me and I said, "You hear that? That's the Wild Bunch in the background." Ernest Borgnine in there, and actually a non-comedy-ish kind of character.
Yeah.
Wild Bunch, George.
The Wild Bunch. Your number one. Is it the Wild Bunch? I think you and I have the same number one, George, for some reason.
Well, Jim, what is our number one?
From 1983. Am I right?
I don't know the year, but it is a De Palma. Is it
De Palma movie, 1983? Okay.
All right.
Say hello to my
there we go. Friend. That yes, yes.
This was honorable mention for me, so it's going to make it for sure.
The final shootout. You're right. I mean, the whole thing where he's taking on everybody, snorting all the whole mountain of cocaine off his desk, and just bullets everywhere. You know,
The rise and fall of Tony Montana.
I wonder how many people does he take on? Because it just seems like an endless stream of people.
Oh, it's like an army of them.
Yeah.
And but he starts off as this. Penniless refugee from Cuba, right? Am I right?
You are correct, Cuba? Sir.
Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. He's a Cuban refugee. You're right. He goes to the camp.
Not the original Howard, whatever his name is.
Well, I mean, it's adapted. But they even have the same globe with the same, you know, the world is ours. Yeah,
well, the difference
there.
Is that one's an Italian immigrant, and he's a Cuban refugee because he starts out in the camps, the 1970 camps that were set up for, what was it, like Carter administration set those up? So go ahead.
But anyway, the scene we're talking about for the future.
Yep.
It's this big climactic. He's all coked out. Like Jim said, he's risen to power. He's this dominating kingpin. And they've sent assassins to kill Tony. And at one point, I don't even know if this is a real thing, but I want it to be. There's a grenade launcher on a rifle. You know, it's like, what kind of Bugs Bunny weapon is this? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in the classic, say hello to my little friend, he fires that thing and takes out like eight people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he's taunting him. There's no way this guy is not going to die. It's overwhelming odds here. But he's taunting his executioners, and it's just pure insanity. And there's no better way. The movie is so excessive. The character is so over the top that it delivers it earns this kind of crazy, crazy ending. So
yeah, good stuff.
Yep.
Scarface is in.
Scarface.
Only honorable mention I had for best shootouts was Assault on Precinct 13. The original.
That's on mine. John Carpenter. That's basically him doing Rio Bravo.
Yeah. I mean, you have that whole, The whole final scene is basically this is everybody trying to get in and the small crew inside the precinct fighting them. So, do you guys have any honorable mentions, Joseph?
I've got Boondock Saints from 1999. That's Sean Patrick Flannery and Norman Reedus. And then I have one that I didn't put on here because I don't know that anybody actually gets shot, but it is a shootout. MacGruber. From 2010.
MacGruber.
So Will Forte is MacGruber, and he's handed this semi-automatic, and then all hell breaks loose and stuff. But again, I don't think anybody gets shot, but it's just, you know, all the destruction and everything. But and MacGruber's so incompetent. And back to Val Kilmer, he's the heavy in that
one. Yeah, you're right.
But So
the movie George was thinking about is Equilibrium.
Yes, yes. Neither of you have seen it. I've seen it multiple times.
I've seen the movie poster.
it's a dystopian.
Are you sure?
I'm just going to pause there. This actually,
do they know where they were,
and it's kind of like a mix of Fahrenheit 451, the Bradbury thing, and a little bit of Orwellian stuff in there. But you have these police officer types that specialize in gun
food. It didn't do too well, did it? I mean, I heard it was kind of stinky.
It's awful. Yeah, but I love it.
I haven't seen it, so I can't comment.
They take these drugs to the belief is that art and the passion that inspires somebody to write music or create a piece of art or writing or whatever, that's the problem. That's why there's all these world wars, is because of passion. So we're going to nullify that. And Christian Bell and Sean
Slater or Boyle, I mean, or Bale,
Christian,
which Christian is it with George? Now it's time to play which Christian is it with George
Bell. It's Christian Bell.
It's the Batman one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's Christian Bell.
The Empire of the Sun, Christian Bell.
Bale or Slater? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, all right, enough. That's not your honorable mention, right? That's just Joseph.
No, it's I wish it were. That's why I'm so disappointed. I forgot about that.
Joseph, any honorable mentions for you?
No.
All right. On the buffet, any honorable mentions from anybody on the buffet?
I'm sticking with just the Vegas stuff. So,
okay, right, we hit every Vegas restaurant. No, I don't have any.
Okay.
On the Strip, we have. There's a lot of other Vegas ones that are cheaper, but I'm not going to recommend them.
Yeah. All right. Good. We'll just move on then. Oh.
Wow. No apologies to this week. This is 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, guys.
We're doing great.
People like us. People like us.
Okay, we apologize for being so good that there's no mistakes in the show.
Well, they're tired of Jim always whining whenever they ride in. I think that's really what's happening.
No, we apologize for being too good.
Jim gets all defensive whenever we get a ride in.
Or our demographic of audience has changed to where they're just all illiterate and they can't write.
That could possibly happen.
Yeah. And thus the prophecy was fulfilled.
Yes.
All right. Do you want to do buffet items first?
I don't know. We got more shootouts than we have buffet items.
Okay. So here's what we got for shootouts. Best shootout. A three-way match on the Untouchables Chicago Union Station thing, the Matrix lobby scene, that's Joseph and I, and then Jim and I on Scarface, the final shootout there. What we have to choose from: True Romance, that shootout in the Ambassador Hotel, Heat, downtown LA, Reservoir Dogs, 21 Jump Street, where Johnny Depp gets killed for being in 21 Jump Street. John Wick, the restaurant scene. Tropic Thunder, the fabulous rescue of Simple Jack there. Night Shift in the Morgue. And then the Wild Bunch. That's Peckinpah, right?
Yeah.
Yep. That's Peckinpah. It.
Yeah. The king of slow motion. People be getting shot with machine guns in slow motion.
I like Heat. If I would have really thought about it, it definitely been on my.
I thought both of you guys are going to put Heat on your list. That's why I didn't mess with it.
So let's put Heat in then. Heat needs to go in.
I did not see Heat in the theater.
I didn't either.
But I think I had a better experience. I saw it in Randy Perkins' trailer home. Okay. And this guy, he had Quadro sound, these massive, like, I don't know if they were Sirwin Vegas speakers, but these speakers all around. And I got to tell you, when this scene happened, and this is what influenced me, the whole mobile home was shaking. He had it in the Quadro sound. So it really sounded like you were shots on the left and the right and everything. Amazing. So if you get a chance to go to Randy's mobile home,
good luck.
Watch this movie. And then I think we watch some Eddie Murphy thing.
Controversial statement of the day. I think Heat is very overrated as a movie. Sorry. I'm just going to leave that alone.
I know everybody was really excited. I like the scene better than I like the movie.
I think the parts, you're right. The parts are better than the sum.
Yeah. Everybody was so excited for Pacino and De Niro to get on the screen together.
Well, they had to write that scene. That scene wasn't originally part of the script. They wrote it because they knew that people wanted to see them, because they were talking about The Godfather too, of how they never shared a scene together. So they're like, we need to write this scene. So, and you can sort of tell, because it's the diner scene. It's like really not necessary.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. My book editors, they say, if the story can work without the scene, you got to cut the scene. And you could extract that scene right out of there. Mm-hmm. And while it's fun to watch those two brilliant actors,
it doesn't move the plot. It seems very tacked on. Caddyshack scene where they try to put Bill Murray and Chevy Chase together, that's tacked on too. But the whole I'm gonna find you out.
To me,
I'm just getting warmed up.
Remember that? To me, Val Kilmer made the movie. He was the best part.
But thank you.
no lines from me. All movies from scent of a woman. I'm just getting warmed up.
Give us a Robert De Niro impersonation.
Well, you know from, what it is? It's the movie. George C. Scott's Christmas Carol.
Merry Christmas, you crazy bastard! De Niro's not my Pacino's.
All right, so Jimbo, you get the final pick here. What are you putting in here?
For me,
I've got four. I'm a happy man. I've got four of my mentions here.
Yeah, I've got two in there. For me, the underdog I would like to pick is the Night Shift one. Just because of the comedy element to it. So, but, either that.
So, MacGruber it is. What? MacGruber it is.
Either that or 21 Jump Street.
It's up to you. You get it this week.
Oh, you get it, Jim. We're letting you have it.
I'm going to go with Night Shift in the morgue.
All right. Got my apology coming up for episode 172.
you chose Night Shift over John Wick? What's the matter with you?
So give us the great the scene on the thing, both characters, where he's spinning around. He stops spinning. One more time.
You're great. You just sat there. Yeah, bullets flying all around you. Will you get me out of here?
Nice.
Well done. You earned that one. All right.
Thank you very much.
Now here's the harder thing. Buffett items. Jimmy Buffett items.
Jimmy Buffett. Margaritaville.
We only have one match. Oh, it's not even a match.
It's not a match. It's just an early vote.
That was just a thing that I appreciated his buffoonery.
But isn't that great that we have literally 15 different items for our buffet list? Salad
bar, roast beef from a carving station, ice cream sundae bar, bacon, egg rolls, fried shrimp, Matthew Stevens turning in his grave, pudding. Sushi, Matthew Stevens turning the other way in his grave. Muffins, mac and cheese, which I'm not voting for just because that one I got confused on. Pizza, which that's pretty good. We already have the crepe souffles, sunflower seeds, endless pours of mimosa because they have endless, a picture in some back of room tea. Of Joseph.
That's right. Beware of this guy when he comes in.
And dumplings, which stands a pretty good chance.
You voted for Joseph, but he hates all people in general, George, and you are part of all people. So I just want to put that out there.
I think actually George relates to it. So
I hate all people is implied. Yes, that's.
So two of the robots hate all people, folks.
No,
that's why I'm the most beloved. You're the villain. Thing. I'm the most beloved robot.
You tell yourself whatever you got to tell yourself. Here's the thing. Individually, I am fascinated with people. Collectively, I can't stand. When people get together, the IQ of the room goes down, and that's the truth. So
that's why the whole climate crisis doesn't really impact me. What are we saving?
What
are we saving? The whole climate.
Before we get you off track, we're a group. When we get together, does the IQ in the
this
room
is a down? No, I'm talking about on the ship where he was talking about.
Okay.
You have 1,000 people trying to get to the table with cottage cheese for the buffet or whatever. That's what I'm talking about. That people get, they become ignorant in a big herd like that. But individually, okay. I'll sit and talk to anybody for hours and, you know, really? Collect their story. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So run down the items, George, and we'll vote.
You.
Oh, you did already. You did.
I did. Okay. See. Well, maybe that idiot thing.
I'm going to throw out roast beef from Carving Station. That's always good. That's always a solid.
So we got two.
I do like pudding, muffins, sunflower seeds, pizza, and dumplings.
So everything that you put on there. Interesting. Interesting way to go there.
Jim likes his list.
That's a shocker.
Yeah. I think pizza needs to be on there because it was such
Get to vote for your own. I think we've never had to state that rule. But
by listing it, you've already voted for your own. Yeah, you're looking for is for one of us to vote for you.
I think
I'm going to marry my wife.
I think pizza's a staple, you know.
If you've got staples in your pizza, I like pizza.
I mean, pizza's always good. And
yeah, that's good. We can do that. We can do it.
Even Golden Corral has pizza, you know, just in case.
Pepperoni pineapple. I'm telling you right now, that's the trick. CC's Pizza, pepperoni pineapple. They'll just give it to you. They're like, no one else wants this.
Welcome to CC's. Oh, he's here again.
And do you eat the pineapple or you just fling those things off?
I really like him. What's funny is that I took my daughter, who's now 18, I took her when she was like 5 or 6. Guess what she likes on pizza? Pepperoni pineapple. You just have to raise them with it. You know, you build up a tolerance for it. So,
that's a very controversial pizza.
People definitely have opinions about pepperoni and pizza. They get violent sometimes. Well,
pepperoni is fine for most people, but kiwi on pizza and fruit, you know, toppings and stuff like that. At a point, I think it stops becoming a pizza. So
I'm gonna make Jim very happy here. I'm putting on pudding because I actually do like the pudding. I will go back for seconds.
Jim
and sometimes
put it
thirds.
On because the guy hated the pudding.
I know, but Stevens would hate me because I actually like the pudding. I'm the reason why pudding's there because I actually like it.
Well, that's not the reason that Matt hated you. That there's a whole different
there's a whole slew of other reasons.
We got one more, guys. One more.
Whatever you guys want on that this year. So I'm just happy putting
it. Hey, here's the thing. I don't care which, but I want something from a Chinese buffet. So egg rolls or dumpling, you guys decide.
I was going to go with ice cream sundae bar. The icy ice cream. Dumplings is fine to me.
George is like, sure not. You say egg rolls there?
No. Either one, but I want that.
You just didn't want sushi to get in. Okay.
I got it. Well, sushi. I mean, I love sushi, but I'm with you. You gotta be careful with that stuff, guys.
You do. You have to be careful.
Get weird right there. All right. So what we end up with once again, best shootouts, Untouchables, Heat, Matrix Lobby Scene, Scarface. Do it, Jim.
Oh, say hello to my little friend.
Forget it. Night Shift.
Doing Carlito? Okay.
I don't. Yeah, Carlito's Way. And for buffet items, roast beef from a Carving Station.
We need to put the video from that one buffet where they try to teach people how to make small talk. They try to teach you how to do small talk when you're cutting the roast beef.
Oh,
we need to have Tom
really?
Find that. Put that. Have you ever seen that?
No,
they got this training film for like one of these buffets, and the guy's like, "Did you see the game today? Is it hot outside?" There's even like a bunch of like small
Why
talk.
Do we? So they instruct them to do that.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Just
dude,
small
I'm
talk
not trying to be your friend. I want a piece of meat. I want the beef. we don't have to engage. We don't have to exchange numbers or anything here. Just give me a piece of roast beef.
It's from the 80s, too. That's what makes it even funnier, too.
Oh, God. Well, that explains a lot. All right. So, roast beef from a Carving Station, pudding, pizza, crepe souffles. Kids, you now know how to do it, how to scam these Las Vegas restaurants.
Show up at 10:55.
That's right. and then dumplings. So that is a good list for the future.
We got to put in the capsule now, you know, of course. We'll shoot it up. They'll inspect it and throw it back down. And then we'll.
I'm going to say episode 170 was pretty good.
It was pretty good. 171 was even, well, it was okay.
This episode 171, nah, you know. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I got, you know, I don't have a lot of jobs here, and has been a lot of episodes though. 171 episodes.
Technically, I mean, we've done like a lot of these shows, so this is technically the 16th time you've done that. But hey, who is counting? You know,
anybody can. You know, Tom is dying to get on the mic, so if y'all want to pass my responsibilities on.
Tom, I'm just joking, George. You've only done it like maybe once or twice. I don't remember actually doing it.
He is ready. Other than episode 100, where that was a good, he did good, and he's been hounding me.
He did a good job. I'll make
you
feel
good, George. You've misunderstood the topic more than you got the actual.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, that's that's like every other week. So, all right, guys. Well, good work today.
Yeah,
crispygoodworks.com. I can hardly wait to hit a buffet and try Johnson style there.
Johnson style. Breakfast and lunch. All right, so crispycutterrobots.com is where you need to go. Let's go ahead and shoot this thing up. All right, it's back down. Ready to get the shovels. Let's go ahead and bury it in the ground. George, I believe it's time for your final line. And the big question is, which Al Pacino will I do? Or will I revert to maybe some Sean Connery from early in the episode? So we'll see. Go ahead.
Remember, there's always some pudding.
If you want to have pudding, you got to get pudding the Chicago way. That's the way you do it. They gave you pudding, we give them muffins. They put pudding in your face, you slam them up and down the throat.
All right, that's pretty good.